with Professor Peter Lynam. A little bit spooky this time, Peter Lynam. Is that the vibe?
Yes. I thought it was time we had a spooky theme.
Right on.
Yes.
It's nice because we're basically looking at some kind of reality to Halloween. Is that sort of where we're at? What's the
That's
vibe?
That's right, precisely. Yep.
Brilliant.
So, I mean, Halloween's a few days ago now, but it's very interesting how much religions have created festivals out of death.
Right.
I mean, Christianity is not the only one that does this. And indeed, you could argue that Halloween has got other roots altogether than necessarily Christian roots.
Yeah, or Western in that sort of aspect, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I was fascinated to see some pictures over the weekend of voodoo festivals for the equivalent of Halloween.
Yeah. I'm also thinking of sort of the Day of the Dead type thing.
Yeah, precisely,
yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I mean, the Day of the Dead, some of that, say in Mexico, where it's very, very big, that is a kind of Halloween.
It's its own thing, yeah.
But in the Hindu Festival of Lights, there is a similar kind of sense of connection with the dead. And, I think almost all religions, in China, where, religion supposedly has died, the sweeping of the graves is still a major aspect of people's priorities when that occurs. And I wonder whether, in a sense, the extremely ghoulish predictions of the end of the world that people have been making if they don't want to get vaccinated, whether, that's the same sort of thing, a kind of fixation that they're trying to kill us.
Is there much? A lot of this revolves around reincarnation, eh? A lot of, like, the Hindu wouldn't it?
Well, for Hindus, yes, indeed, because the notion that you're actually on a passage, on a journey.
It's more of a celebration, isn't it?
Well, the journey is coming back to this world, not necessarily a celebration at all.
Right.
Because if your passage has not been a good one, and if you've done the wrong way, I mean, the chances are that there's no guarantee that you're all steadily moving upwards. As many move downwards as move upwards.
True, okay.
In reincarnation. Whereas, and similarly, with the Halloween, which is a version of the Festival of All Souls, which follows All Saints. So All Saints is on the 1st of November, All Souls is on the 2nd of November. And that's for those who haven't yet made it. So they're sitting in that curious place in between, which, there was different religions, different parts of Christianity treat this in different ways, but purgatory is the Catholic name for where people sit in this temporary period of testing.
Peter, on that notion of making it into heaven and out of purgatory or going to hell, we had a caller a few minutes ago who phoned in and said, does the monetary contribution you make to the church while you're alive, like a sort of credit for heaven, does the more you tithe mean you're more likely to get into heaven?
Well, this was the issue over which the Reformation was fought in the 16th century. Because in the 16th century, the church was offering what they called indulgences, which was a special authority given on behalf of the saints to shortcut you to heaven by purchasing you a kind of ticket.
It's just tokens to buy things in heaven, like, just, you know.
No, but it improved. It meant that life was not so miserable on the way there. And you could do this for your relations as well. And so it's a get-out-of-jail-free card. And it financed the building of St. Peter's in Rome, for example. So this was what Luther held the Reformation for, because he couldn't stand the thought of that kind of misunderstanding. And modern Catholicism seems a little bit embarrassed about that part of its history.
Yes.
Unfortunately, on the standard Christian way, it may end up backfiring because it's quality of life and genuine desire for forgiveness that gets you there and nothing else, I'm sorry to say.
Okay.
Much harder, much more miserable. And whereas certainly virtues were accumulated in Judaism, and that's probably the most common feature in most religions, that virtues are something that accumulate and that you you carry them as something with you, as a security, into the unknowns of death.
Mm. And just getting it back to sort of relative our lives here, because we obviously just doing the classic kind of white person thing of just chucking it all in a big pot and going, hey, look, I'm dressed up as a crazy Frankenstein. But is there like a low key, are we sort of unknowingly coming to grips with death in that celebration somehow as well?
Yes, I think actually it's a strange factor that contemporary society loathes the subject of death and especially the subject of dying. And of course, it's worth saying this on the day that assisted dying has been introduced because of the nervousness about the pain of death, of dying.
Yeah.
So, so strong in our society. And yet, I mean, movies are full of ghoulishness and dying and, you know, the grim stuff that kids are showing, sort of shocking images, shows that in a way it keeps the notion of the fear of death very alive.
Yeah, but I think almost the excess of, especially of a TV sense of death is like, you know, just a bunch of people getting shot up in a movie. It kind of it desensitizes it a bit, kind of takes you away from the actual real life deaths of like
illness
and stuff like that.
Yes, I think that's true. You rarely see people suffering unless they're the baddie.
Are you seeing any sort of common themes between the fears of the anti-vaxxers and, you know, those people that are, you know, celebrating Halloween and the Hindu Day of the Dead?
Yes, I think in a way the anti-vaccinators, especially those that are picking up apocalyptic reasons, you know, that something terrible is being produced by this vaccine, that it's actually a sign of the all-powerful state that will destroy us. And that's the heart of a lot of the argument, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, it isn't anti the vaccine, it's anti being told what to do, you know.
Yes, indeed, yes. Mm. So the notion that, in fact, the state is not there for my benefit.
Yeah.
Mm. It's never been for my benefit. Mm. I've never experienced it for my benefit.
That's a conditioned opinion, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is out to destroy me, and that destructive theme in the way in which you look at authority means that there's a kind of fearfulness that goes with this.
You also kind of override your the need of the fellow man. If you're just afraid of the government and going to do anything to oppose them, you know, you're missing the message that actually you can be helping everyone else. Like, if you actually take the government out of the question and just look at it holistically, you know?
Yes, so the appeals that are made to us by those in favour of vaccination, as we probably all should be, but our appeals not to the government, but to the common good.
Yeah, it's the community, right?
Mm. Yes, that's right. But I mean, while we're appealing to the community, there's increasingly signs of coercion that go with the appeal to community, don't they?
Yeah, it can be awkward.
Yes, and Sydney, I've just realised that, I mean, another very powerful theme about the end of the world and about death is the climate concern of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're living in very apocalyptic language, talking about the notion of the climate, and we're all about to be fried.
Well, we're all kind of realizing the statistics, and we're getting a lot of data back on what we're doing to the oceans and everything, and whether or not people are believing in climate change, that is an overwhelming feeling of, wow, we're not living in a sustainable manner. And that's got to permeate even the hardest skinned people, you know, like. Yeah.
Has any generation lived in a time which hasn't had the threat of the apocalypse hanging over their head?
With life comes death, John. You know?
I think it's come in different ways at different times, but no, I think there's always been an element of it there. But
that's the reason for religion, I guess, isn't it?
Yes, partly. But it's also the reason for, but the occasion of an enormous amount of, you know, getting us to conform. I mean, for example, I mean, when I was a boy, I seem to recall us being taken at school to see a movie about the effects of the atomic bomb.
Nuclear Winter?
No. I mean,
the dummies getting blown away out of the houses and stuff like that.
That's right, And, I mean, it was a very...
drills at school and stuff, like get under the desk and like as if that's going to stop anything.
See, that wouldn't have done as much. Yeah.
That's actually a real threat, that one. That nuclear fallout is a fucking real thing.
Very definitely. Yeah. And, you know, really, ever since World War II, when in one sense we've lived in the longest period of lack of world war for a very long time, and yet
there is
extraordinarily bloody and extraordinary threat. And remember that sort of, what is it, the minutes to midnight that is shown in the clock in...
Yeah, like the doomsday clock, yes. Yep.
Yeah,
are we edging ever closer?
Yeah, I think there are statistically less wars than there ever have been, but we definitely are more powerful than we ever have been as well. So.
Yes, and certainly the figures, I mean, was it Steven Pinker's book that produced figures that in fact it's been a striking decline in the number of deaths through violence in the 20th century. A massive drop compared to the ancient world, where they would have lived with violent deaths all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you would think that we did, the way we talk about it.
Yeah, totally.
I guess.
And it's interesting because, I mean, relatively, for example, I'm deeply convinced that there's sort of gang violence going to break out on my street at any moment based on the reports of the Herald, which sort of gives us a constant fear of extraordinary levels of deaths and destruction that have gone on in New Zealand since the pandemic. But, I mean, I'd be cautious about being sure that was the real evidence until I saw the figures.
Right. Right on.
Well, there you are.
That was a classic one. We kind of went everywhere there. It was good.
We've sorted out the world.
Very good. We'll have another crack at it next Monday. Thank you very much, Peter.
Excellent. Take care. Bye-bye.